Father, we are humbled before you tonight, and we thank you for your provision through this day. Thank you, Father, for this day, a day to worship, a day to be with your people, a day, Father, to be encouraged, a day to be instructed, to be filled with your presence and your spirit. We ask, Lord, that we would be equipped tonight for the work that you'll have for us this week. We love you and thank you for your presence, and we ask that you would, by your Spirit, make your truth known to us as we give attention to your word, and Lord God, examine the doctrine of cooperation tonight. We desire, Father, to honor you with the way that we conduct our lives, and so teach us to the glory of Christ, we pray in his name. Amen. God bless. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your workbook, if you have a workbook on the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, it is chapter 17, page 141 in the workbook. Article 14 is where we will be resting tonight and examining that article on cooperation. And I will just let you know a little bit of a ditty that I learned this morning in some conversation that was going on about Baptist Faith and Message 2000, that this statement of faith was an improvement on the 1963 statement of faith that was compiled by a select panel of 12 men. And as reported, there were eight Arminian thought men and four Calvinist thought men, and they all agreed together that this doctrine document conveys a balanced understanding of scriptural approach to the things of God and responsibilities of the church in the world. And we can rest in the fact that the SBC, that is the Southern Baptist Convention, the Baptist General Convention of Texas, which we are affiliated with, and our Guadalupe Baptist Association also hold to this doctrine as the agreeable statement of faith to which they hold. And so we do well to look at this document and to study it and see where we stand in embracing it. Of course, second to Scripture. Obviously, Scripture is the most reliable source of our understanding of what God desires of us. No man-made doctrine is ever going to measure up to the truth of God's Word. And when we consider a statement of faith that has been formed by men, there is always the human element to consider. And this one lines up very well with Scripture, which would be what I would depend upon in my own personal view. So as we look at Article 14, do we have that up there? You are on top of it. Thank you, Brittany. You have that article on the screen. I have in my workbook. I'm going to read that out of the workbook. It reads this way: Christ's people should, as occasion requires, organize such associations and conventions as may best secure cooperation for the great objects of the kingdom of God. Such organizations have no authority over one another or over the churches. They are voluntary and advisory bodies designed to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of our people in the most effective manner. Members of New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Christian unity in the New Testament sense is spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation for common ends by various groups of Christ's people. Cooperation is desirable between the various Christian denominations when the end to be attained is itself justified, and when such cooperation involves no violation of conscience or compromise of loyalty to Christ and his word as revealed in the New Testament. So that is how it reads, as best as I can remember. There are six sentences here, and we're going to mark them off into different areas. The first four sentences have to do with cooperation in the regional, the national, and international scope. Fourth and fifth sentences, I doubled up on the fourth sentence. It kind of helps to combine to direct us to cooperation between like-minded churches. It may or may not include a Baptist church. It may be a Bible church, but like-minded in that sense. The sixth sentence, the third category, is reference to occasional cooperation with those of other denominations, but happen to be agreeable with the gospel of Jesus and trust that the Bible is the Word of God. And so we're going to look at those categories, and hopefully we are thorough enough in this examination of this particular article. And the very first, let me begin, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. I want to just read this as our springboard passage of Scripture. There's much more in this passage of Scripture. I visited this passage a few weeks ago when I talked about us being careful about just remaining spiritual babes, needing to grow beyond the milk of the Word and grow into the meat of the Word. Well, down in verse 9 of chapter 3, we find the Apostle Paul speaking about this, saying, "We are God's fellow workers." And that's where we're looking at right now, fellow workers. We're also called God's field, God's building. And he goes on and talks about this building of a spiritual building on the foundation of Christ. But in this idea of being fellow laborers, fellow workers in the kingdom, this is where we get this idea of cooperation. The Scripture is very clear on our working together. And we'll look at some of those different concepts as we study this evening. In the first category, using the first four sentences, this idea of regional, national, and international cooperation, I would appeal to Christ's command in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. You're familiar with that. It's the Great Commission. It's where Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things as I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Marching orders, we see that as our marching orders as church, as churches, that we are here for the purpose of making disciples. Another passage of Scripture that I would refer us to would be out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which is also familiar to you as Jesus speaking to his disciples before his ascension, and his disciples come to ask the question, when are you restoring the kingdom to Israel? When are you bringing all these things to pass? And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or the epochs that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." This idea that the power will come upon you happened when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church at Pentecost. Just a couple of another chapter over in the book of Acts, you find that very thing happening. On the day of Pentecost, there was the falling down, the coming down of the Holy Spirit, making the church the church. And that power, when it came upon them, they then were given the assignment to go be witnesses. Jerusalem, the place where the Spirit fell. Judea, the area in which Jerusalem is found. Samaria, the middle part between them and the northern part of Israel. And then the uttermost parts of the earth. They were pretty limited in what they knew of the earth in those days, but it was beyond them. And so start where you are, move out the region, even in the Gentile nations, and then to the rest of the world. So this idea is what we do, even with our Baptist missions. As we mentioned that this morning, we send monies to North America. We send monies to international places all over the world. And we also concentrate on Texas with a Texas mission, Mary Hill Davis. And so we have this structure in place. And we utilize this idea of cooperation. We cooperate with others. We give our little bit of money from this church and we pass it on. And Through that, other churches pass their monies on, and together it brings a big pot of funding so that those who are serving as missionaries in those areas can do their task and do it well and present the gospel. And so this idea of reaching beyond, regional, national, international, is found in these passages of the Great Commission and also assignment by the Lord Jesus to those disciples regarding Jerusalem and the uttermost parts, up to the uttermost parts of the earth. So the first few sentences in reference to the associations and conventions that best allow for us. I kind of mark this down in my workbook. Christ's people should, as occasion requires, organize such associations and conventions that help best secure cooperation for the great objects of the kingdom of God. We have the Baptist General Convention of Texas. I remember before there were two Texas conventions, there was just one convention. And then there was the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. And those are conventions to which churches can affiliate. And by doing so, they send portions of their money there, whether they do it by percentage or whether they have a set amount, they send monies to those conventions. Those conventions are then organized and set up. And the Baptist General Convention, of which we're a part, has a cooperative program that's in place. Monies go to the state convention, and those monies are dispersed according to a budget that is set up by a executive budget committee that is formed by members of Texas churches who belong to the BGCT. And BGCT is short for Baptist General Convention of Texas, so it's easier to say BGCT. And those individuals set up a budget. The budget is presented at every annual meeting, and then it's voted on by the members who show up from the affiliated churches and are messengers, and they vote for that budget. So the monies go out to help with administrative costs. Hopefully that's smaller than other things, but then you also have ministries to schools, ministries for adoptions, orphanages, children's homes, ministries to help churches to be planted, churches to be encourage churches that are doing poorly, like during the pandemic this past year, the BGCT had funding that was available to help pastors to receive paychecks, to help churches to continue doing ministry when they didn't have people showing up and giving offerings and tithes. And I just want to say that this church stepped up. We gave better during the pandemic than we did when there was no illness going on in our community. In the last 9 years that I've been here, we've not had as good a year in receiving tithes and offerings as we did during the pandemic. The other issue that goes along with that, we weren't meeting in the building as often, and so we weren't spending as much money on electronics and upon air conditioning and all the things that go with that. And so it was a double blessing, and we were able to set some monies to the side and have them for contingency issues or emergency issues. So we've been blessed in that way, but not every church had that. But the convention was able to help with certain churches that did not have that kind of help, and that was because we have given regularly to the convention a portion of our giving. We give a percentage that goes to the Baptist General Convention of Texas. Southern Baptist Convention also has a program whereby if you send monies to them, they will help support seminaries. They'll help support the ministries that they give out. And listen, we get stuff in the mail all the time or on emails, announcements about workshops and about webinars and all kind of things that are made available to help you know how to do your taxes as a pastor. Your taxes are different than they are for just a regular person out there. Your pastor has to have some special things, and so they give you webinars. They train you on how to handle those kind of deals. They give you seminars on how to minister conflict in your church. I probably ought to take a few of those. They teach you, they send out information and educate you. They have resources. They have people who will come from the convention and do workshops or weekends for you. They will preach for you. They have a lot to offer. And all of that's available because we give to that organization. So our association is much the same way. We have an association of churches, and we belong to the Guadalupe Baptist Association. in Victoria, Texas, is where the headquarters is, right across from UHVC, and it's also a ministry to the college students there. Our association is made up of churches that surround the area, and I'll tell you, as far as Edna, down Vanderbilt, Lolita, over to, I don't even know on the west side, Coletta and Nursery and Quero. It covers a large area. Yoakum, we have some churches in our association from there. So it's a large area, and it's probably close to about 50 churches. And they call them an association of churches because those churches have agreed to meet together and to be a support and an encouragement to one another. When we do that, we find that it's a lot easier to do ministries and to support work when we combine our resources rather than each church try to do those things on their own. So this idea of cooperation is something that Baptists have historically and traditionally put into place, but it is based upon biblical cooperation. Again, we'll get into this a little bit more, but when we're talking about ministering to one another, the scripture is very clear. When the church first begins in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the believers, and you've got some that are Jews and they're starting to trust Christ and they're getting kicked out of their families and they lose their job, other members begin combining their possessions, selling their property, and helping these brothers out now. So that's cooperation. That is working together to make sure that fellow man ministry needs are met. And so that is the basic idea that we have in this idea of cooperation. Kind of jumped ahead of myself here. We are affiliated with the Baptist General Convention of Texas as well, and we do have a percentage that we do send to the BGCT. And again, they have hunger ministries, families and children ministries, helps for lower income churches, newly established churches, education. There are even scholarships available, consultants from the convention who can come down and consult on pertinent matters, resources that are affiliated with churches as well. I would say that going back to the associational cooperation, Brother Walter Jackson is one of the top-notch directors of missions who has connections not only with the BGCT, but with other churches and then other DOMs, directors of missions in other places. And he has an incredible network where if you as a pastor call with a question, he can do some research just through some networking and get answers back in a really fast amount of time and help the pastors in ministering to their individual churches. And so I find him to be a great resource, tremendous, besides being a good friend. He is a great resource for the pastors in the area. It's amazing how little traveling he did this past year because of the pandemic and how much he missed it. You think about this. Every church that has a vacation Bible school, Walter Jackson makes it to that VBS at some point during the week. And if four churches in the association or five churches have the same week, he finds a way to make them to every one of those. Somehow he gets to those VBSs. So he does a lot of driving. He comes and visits with pastors when that is open. He visits with pastors, has meetings with pastors in certain areas and prayer times with them. And so he's a jewel of a resource for us to have as association. And then all the churches together, ministering together. The wonderful ministry that we have in Victoria through the Guadalupe Baptist Association is the ministry to our college students. It is a unique ministry because it happens to be where the building is right across the street from the college campus. And so they ask churches, and we've done this. Our ladies will prepare a meal for the students for on Tuesday at lunchtime. Now, this past year was kind of strange because we had to find a new and creative way to do meals for students since they weren't allowed to come sit in the building. And if you come in sometimes and there might be five students, you come in another time, there might be 30 or 40 packed in that little room eating and fellowshipping together. And it's just an opportunity for those students to feel like somebody cares about them in their everyday. And so what they did was they prepared, still had people bring meals, but they stood outside and they'd have them drive by and they'd give them to them and ask if there were any prayer needs. They'd pray with whatever they had and then they'd let them go and then they'd bring the next one through. And so they had to get creative with how they did the meals there. But that's a ministry that I know the Guadalupe Baptist Association has had under their belt for a very long time. When your pastor was still a layperson, I would go to the BSM in that day. I would go to the BSM and I would help my brother sing. He was in college at Victoria at the time, and he would ask me to come, and we would sing songs before the Bible studies that the students had on those nights. So I find that to be a very valuable ministry to students, because it helps them to know that they're precious to people and that they matter. And you want to invest in them. And so I got to teach a lot of Sunday school or Bible studies and also to sing with them. So it's a blessing. And that's the unique kind of ministry that our association has with those students. Also, we compiled together, if you remember, an appeal was made regarding the Texas Baptist encampment. That is supported by our individual churches, but also is supported by the association. And so we were able to ask the pastors to announce to their people, and many of you responded and kind of helped the Baptist encampment get through some pretty rough months since they didn't have camps last year. And so, again, thank you for your attention to those needs. But that wouldn't happen without the association network that we have. And so the cooperation there, it's biblical that we should work together to see common causes accomplished. And so in this 4 and 5 sentences, 1 through 4. Let me see if I've missed anything. These organizations have no authority over one another or over the churches. Because we belong to the Guadalupe Baptist Association does not mean that if they come out with what they want churches to do, it's just a suggestion. There is no mandate. We're an autonomous church as a Baptist church. We don't have to do anything anybody says. BGCT does something. They send out programs, things that they want to see churches do. We don't have to do a thing they say. We send money there. If they send us stuff and we like the idea, we can do it. But we are not forced to do anything that the BGCT says, that the GBA says, or the Southern Baptist Convention, for that matter. They're the umbrella entity over Southern Baptist churches. We don't answer to them as far as that. We do have a common value system that we're to hold to. There are some, when you affiliate with the Southern Baptist Convention and also with the BGCT, you agree to be a church that upholds certain values. And should you violate those, there have been times at the BGCT meetings where a church has been brought up who violated that. They desired that they were going to have homosexual membership or they were going to have homosexual leaders in their churches, and the BGCT voted that that church would no longer be associated with them. And so that kind of action has taken place. So there are some standards and values that you should uphold as being affiliated with those entities, but it is not that it's mandated to us. And any church and any of those entities under any of those organization umbrellas can step out at any time they want to. Nobody is forced at any time to stay within those. So these organizations are voluntary and advisory bodies. Voluntary and advisory bodies designed to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of our people in the most effective manner. They are there to serve. They are not there to force themselves upon the churches. I have, from time to time, felt like there have been some representatives from the BGC, too, who would just not leave me alone. There have been times when I've gotten phone calls and I've just said, okay, if I need you, I will call you. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything you're doing, but you have to give me a break. And so, but they voluntarily and advise upon things. They do send out announcements about everything that's going on. We'll oftentimes have a representative come to our GBA meetings, our local association meetings, and they will tell us what's happening in the convention. They will tell us what things are going on. So churches have the opportunity to participate, cooperate with them in those efforts or not. And so it's based purely upon the voluntary work of the church and participating with those organizations. And so again, their desire is to present and offer opportunities and direct the energies of the people in the most effective manner so that what things we can't do by ourselves, we can do together with others. In the Lifeway workbook, there is a quote I noted here to read to you. Organizations such as associations and conventions, as may best secure cooperation for great objects of the kingdom of God. And that's the statement out of the article. The explanation here says, this large, expansive statement is deeply rooted in the Baptist tradition. Also historically, when you look back, I took a couple of history classes in seminary, and it's amazing. You'd be amazed to know that some pastors, I'm not the first one to carry a weapon, or some pastors kept them on their holster on their sides, and they went from place to place as circuit preachers and preached and had their own little friend with them all the time. And so historically, there's a lot of things we can learn, and one of those things is this, the organization and the cooperation here. After all, the very first Baptist churches in London organized themselves into an association. They did this not merely to enjoy fraternal relationships among the churches, but to share mutual accountability to the gospel and to engage in common purposes and a united witness. So historically, this kind of organizing and being a part of associations with other churches has been around a very long time. That has not come without conflicts. I am remembering Charles Spurgeon, his church in England, that there were some other churches that had some very strong ideals that were opposed to what he and a couple other churches believed were biblical. And so there was a division between those, and they parted ways. Even as the association in those days had certain values they held to, when they weren't held to, there was division that was created. And so while there's cooperation, there was still also an expectation of upholding certain biblical standards in order that as we cooperate together, we can agree that our monies go to a common thing, they go to a common cause and to a common purpose that the Lord has called us to. So having said that, I move on to say I included the fourth sentence in the first and second categories for a reason. Look at that fourth sentence for just a moment. Members of New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. With this statement, Baptist churches, hopefully, are New Testament churches, but as was said tonight in the deacon meeting, not all Baptist churches are the same. Every Baptist church can be different. In fact, if you have on vacation or in visiting with relatives gone to another Baptist church, you might find that there are some differences. It's not very uncommon for me to have family come back with a bulletin and say, why don't we do bulletins like this? Okay. There are always some good, helpful suggestions, so I'm just letting you know that every Baptist church has its own way of operating things, and you'll notice that when you go, if you happen to visit in other churches, you happen to know some who serve in other churches or who are members of another church, they're not all the same. And this idea that they need to be a New Testament church, at least, a New Testament church. And so there are some basics and essentials that are part of that agreement within the Baptist General Convention of Texas or within the Guadalupe Baptist Association that allows you to affiliate with those and still be in agreement on the basics and essentials so that you can serve together and you feel comfortable sending your monies there and sending your people there and your pastors so that they can fellowship with those others and in the business that's done in the association, that they can do that in an agreeable manner. So this idea here that members of New Testament churches should cooperate with one another, anytime we're connected to Christ, we ought to look for ways that we can work with one another who are also New Testament churches. And that, I would even go so far as to say, whether Baptist or not, we'll get into that in just a moment, but at least Baptist churches, we cooperate with those who are like-minded. Carrying forth missionary, educational, benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. That idea is kind of included in the first section regarding missionary activities, educational, benevolent ministries. We want to be willing to work alongside other New Testament churches and seeing those things done. Missionary efforts. I remember that our church has been on mission trips even before I came to different places. What was amazing is when we went to the South Texas Children's Home trip to Dominican Republic, there are other churches that send workers down there as well, and we can agree to send workers. Sometimes church members have gone together with other churches to go on a mission trip. When we have like-mindedness, we can go and we can operate a vacation Bible school, Bible studies, minister messages, do choir productions, whatever, in different places as we do ministry in those mission settings. Also, educational, where we have opportunities to participate with others. If you remember, a few months ago, I presented some DVDs from the Institute for Creation Research. It had to do with the image of God in us, and we looked at some different parts of how the body works, and the hands and the eyes and things like that. A very interesting look at how God created us. Well, the Institute for Creation Research is one of the first expositions that I had to the creation account in Scripture that affirmed what I believed about Scripture. And they're a group of scientists who align with the Word of God. They don't just make scientific discoveries and say, well, God's Word's going to have to adjust to get to this conclusion. They use the presuppositional approach that the Bible is truth, and so when they find discoveries, they find that it aligns perfectly with what God's already told us in the Word of God. So I find that to be a very reliable source as far as educational materials. So in my office, I have a lot of ICR materials. And some of you know that because you've seen them in my office, or you've probably even heard me from time to time use quotes or even outlines from Bible studies that I've found in little devotionals. Sometimes I can develop an entire sermon out of just a brief little devotional that I've found somewhere that they have presented. So educational things, we can combine our efforts and cooperate with those who have the same mindset on educational things. And also benevolent ministries. Your congregation combines efforts with churches from our community. Not all of them are what we would call Baptist churches. In fact, there are some Methodist churches involved. There's a couple of Lutheran churches who give. We do have, there are several churches in our community that participate. I can't remember church names right now, but all these churches combine efforts with the Helping Hands ministry. I'm on the board with several pastors and lay leaders in churches, Presbyterian Church. Send representatives who come, and they're available, and we agree on the ministry that Helping Hands is doing, and we make decisions, and we agree together on doing those kinds of things. We're like-minded and wanting to help those who have needs. Physical needs, clothing, food, help with certain bills. And if you can imagine this past year, people who have not been able to work because of COVID and they have needs to get bills paid and such, I'm really surprised we haven't had more people needing help. But again, that ministry praise the Lord, was supported greatly financially over this past year, and there's more money in the account at the Helping Hands right now than I've ever seen in my 9 years here. In fact, Miss Kay Cope said she's never seen that amount of money. So people have been generous to give, knowing that there are needy in our community that have great needs and can be helped. And that's better when we cooperate with one another in order to extend the kingdom of Christ. So let's look. That's the first thing regarding regional and national and international ideas. We probably concentrated a whole lot more on local since we are familiar with that. But the fourth and fifth sentences I also combined here lead us to cooperation between like-minded churches. And again, this could be Baptist churches, and it could also be other churches, Bible churches, churches that happen to be New Testament churches, as mentioned in that fourth sentence. But also combine all of that with Christian unity in the New Testament sense, spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation for common ends by various groups of Christ's people. Since we address this idea in New Testament churches, cooperating with one another in these areas of missionary, educational, benevolent ministries, don't need to be redundant on that. But we do need to note the Christian unity in the New Testament sense, where there's spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation to meet a common end. Again, that just speaks about cooperating, having a mutual desire to serve, but also keeping in mind that there has to be some spiritual harmony there. We don't, and again, voluntary cooperation where we're not coercing or compulsing someone, we're not forcing someone to come and join us, but opening up the opportunity to be able to help. Congregationalism is another established Baptist principle that has historically and traditionally been established, where we believe the biblical understanding of the church is as a local body. And again, we noted this a moment ago, autonomous. No other entities or authorities over us. We acknowledge the headship of Christ and spoke about that this morning and in weeks past. But we also understand that we cannot separate ourselves from the larger body of Christ that exists outside the local church. And so there are sometimes it's better for us to combine efforts with those who are like-minded, New Testament churches, voluntarily cooperating together, coming out of a spiritual harmony, agreeing on the essentials of the gospel as are revealed in Scripture. And again, this would be something like our church, just throwing this out here, joining in a worship experience with another Baptist church, combining efforts there, Shiloh Baptist Church. I have a few dear friends there, and would be an exciting thing. We did this in Carrizo Springs quite often. We had some of the folks from the Mount Olive? Mount Olive Church there in Carrizo Springs, and we would, on a regular basis, seem like at least biannually, we had some kind of combined time together where we at least had their choir and their members over there, and we worshiped together. It's a sweet time, and also you learn. You see how others worship and how they engage with the Lord, and it becomes educational for us, but it's enriching spiritually to do that kind of thing. So those kind of things, cooperating together in that, are special. And also, if we take on Mission Jackson County again, I remember the last two times we did that, we had members from other churches in our area that participated with us in that common mission. We tried to make it a point not only do work on their home, but make sure that we shared the gospel with those homeowners as well and made sure they were ministered to spiritually. That requires that we be like-minded with others who participate with us. And, of course, when you need good carpenters and foremen, you may not have a whole lot in one congregation. It's better to combine the efforts of all those who are like-minded to work together in an effort like that, make sure that people are served. And so we'll serve in a common cause in projects much like that. And then the sixth sentence, and I hope I'm not just flying through this. Cooperation, did I cover that? Yes. Cooperation is desirable between the various Christian denominations when the end to be attained is itself justified. And when such cooperation involves no violation of conscience or compromise of loyalty to Christ and His Word as revealed in the New Testament. And this is a crucial one, especially for Baptists, that we be careful that we don't cooperate with someone who's they may not have the same kind of understanding of baptism. They may not have the same understanding of the Lord's Supper, some of those things, but we can still cooperate in a sense. But there are some churches that have distinctly different kinds of understandings of the gospel, and we are to be careful with participating in them. The Apostle Paul said, be careful that you're not unequally yoked. I don't think he was just talking about marriage. I think he was talking about in our everyday, when we associate with people, we can't help that. We're going to associate with people who are not godly. But when we're looking at a spiritual venture, something that we're doing for the kingdom of God, we should do that with like-minded, spiritual understanding men and women. We should cooperate with those that are like-minded and have the same kind of understanding of the basic tenets of faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ, mentioned this earlier, the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible is the Word of God, most definitely need to be at the top of the list, even if we don't have the same idea of what we do when we disperse the elements on a communion day or Lord's Supper day. And I can point to the affiliation again with the Helping Hands ministry in our community, who serves the needy. There are some in that I could sit down and talk with them. And I'm not always comfortable in their worship services. If I go to a funeral, sometimes it's a little awkward, but I can endure that. And even though there are differences in doctrine as to baptism, Lord's Supper, maybe the responsibility to community, we are still able to participate together and minister in other ways. Helping Hands is one of those. Ministerial Alliance, as we come together, we can cooperate together and minister to our community through common desires to do that. I think of the High School Baccalaureate. I'm pretty sure this church participated in that before I came along. But the churches in the Ministerial Alliance desire to be a ministry to the students, and every year try to be available for a baccalaureate service for them. Last year, that was blown out of the water by the pandemic situation. But the year before and the years before, we were able to do that. I appreciate the Gideons. They provide Bibles for that baccalaureate service. As we give opportunity for those students to be able to worship together as we celebrate their graduation, and then offer to them opportunities to pray for them as they're heading off to college and starting a new life or going to the military. There are a whole lot of situations. We get to minister to those students, and that's a really special time for us as a Ministerial Alliance. Even if we don't agree on all of the doctrinal understandings of Scripture, we're still able to participate and minister to the needs of those students. Think about the Salvation Army ministry as well. That effort was brought about by the Ministerial Alliance, that we needed to have a Salvation Army representative in our community so that needs could be met outside of what happens at Helping Hands. If you're not familiar with the Helping Hands ministry, they used to be operating Monday and Thursday each week, and that still left Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so they wanted to find something else that could be available to help minister to people who weren't just needy on Monday or Thursday. And so they brought in the Salvation Army ministry, and your pastor has been pretty much operating that in the last 5 years, maybe more. It's all a blur. But we've done our best to cooperate with other churches. Appreciate the Methodist personnel. And if you see Gail Sockleben in town, be sure you pat her on the back and say, way to go. Because each year that I have contacted the Methodist church, she's been the one that's organized and gotten people enlisted. And their church will take an entire weekend. They'll take Friday and Saturday of one of the 3 weeks we do that. And I haven't found another church that will do it like that. And I'm not the world's best organizer, so I'm grateful for her for that one weekend that she takes care of that. But that's where we can cooperate together in a common cause to minister and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, I'm going to just kind of now jump on the biblical foundations for these kind of cooperation and look at the principles that are presented in Scripture, because I think it's very important for us to say we didn't just have this statement put together for the sake of putting a statement together saying we need to cooperate with each other, but look at what the biblical principles are for that. So I want to take you to Exodus chapter 17 and verse 2, and notice just a probably a story. Maybe you've never heard it before. You probably have, more than likely, but it is an instance in Scripture. Did I say 17:2? Yeah, 17:8. I don't know why that's in there like that. So the Amalekites, 17:8 in Exodus. Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I'll station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him. He sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. In this, we see support. We see cooperation. Moses couldn't do it by himself. He was raising his hand with the rod in it. And, of course, you hold up your arm by itself for any length of time, it'll begin to be heavy. To hold up a rod during the time a battle is going on, he grew weary in that, and those men came and upheld his arms, because when the arm came down, they weren't winning the battle. So they cooperated together. You might say, well, that's kind of a cheesy little illustration, but it speaks about cooperation. It is exactly what the Bible tells us to do in helping one another, support one another, be there for one another. And it started back here in the Old Testament. I will take you also to chapter 18, verse 17. And this is kind of a twofold kind of presentation. Here in Exodus chapter 18, we find Moses' father-in-law coming to him and saying, "What you're doing is not good." And what was Moses doing? He was judging all the people. Jethro went out with Moses one day, and he saw Moses go out to the place where all the people would come out, and they'd come to him with all their problems. Every one of them would come with problems, and Moses was the judge, and he'd make determinations. That one would go on their way. He'd make a determination. They'd go on their way. And hundreds, maybe thousands of people kept coming, and his whole day was spent in doing judgments. And Jethro watched, and this is his response. He said, "You're not doing good." And it didn't mean he wasn't doing a good job. It just meant this thing you're doing, it's not efficient. "You surely wear yourself out, and these people who are with you, because the task is too heavy for you. You can't do this alone. Listen to me. I'll give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they're to walk and the work they're to do. Furthermore, select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, who hate dishonor, dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. It'll be easier for you, and they'll bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people also will go to their place in peace." It was very good advice from Jethro. The problem is it didn't get implemented right away. When you read through the Scripture, and I found this, that later in Numbers, let's see, where is that? Numbers 32, verse 16. That's not right. I don't know what to tell you now. It's somewhere in Numbers that finally, the Lord confirms what, Deuteronomy chapter 1, I'm sorry, a whole different book, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9 through 15, there it is. "And I spoke to you at that time," this is Moses kind of giving a history, a recap of all that the people of Israel had experienced after the Exodus, before they enter into the promised land. Of course, Moses was not able to do that, so he's kind of giving, Deuteronomy is about him giving last reports and understandings of things that God had given them before he dies on Mount Nebo, separated by God, and people didn't know where he was buried, and I've talked to you before about that's a good thing because they probably would have idolized him and still had his body encased somewhere for idol worship. But here we find Moses giving a recap, and he comes to this in verse 9. I spoke to you at the time, I'm not able to bear the burden of you alone. The Lord your God's multiplied you, and behold, you are as this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. May the Lord your God of your fathers increase you 1,000-fold more than you are, and bless you just as he's promised. How can I alone bear the load and burden of you and your strife? Choose wise and discerning and experienced men from your tribes, and I'll appoint them as your heads. And you answered me and said, the thing that you've said to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and appointed them heads over you, leaders of thousands and of hundreds and of fifties and of tens, and officers for your tribes. And then I charged your judges, hear these cases between your fellow countrymen, judge righteously between man and his fellow countrymen or the alien who's with him, and not show partiality in judgment. Hear the small and the great alike, shall not fear man, for the judgment of God is God's, and the case is that's too hard for you, you bring it to me and I'll hear it. And I commanded you at that time all things that you should do. Eventually, Moses got the Lord's okay on this advice from Jethro, and he did exactly that. He appointed some wise men to be able to help take care of the judgment. That was cooperation. Any one of us who thinks that we can do the job alone is got to be crazy, that you would want to do that alone. The cooperation is a godsend, and we find that principle right here in the Old Testament. The Lord approved that idea, and they moved forward with that. I don't know why I had Numbers 36, 32, verse 16 marked. Hold on a second. Ha! Now I remember. As Israel was getting ready to move into the promised land, if you remember, Israel came over on the east side of the Jordan, and they took care of two of the kings, Sihon and Bashan, if I'm not mistaken. They took care of some of the kings on the east side of the land. And it was Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh who were instrumental in saying to Moses, we want to leave our families on this side, and we want to establish our families. Let us build our houses, and then we'll come over with you, and we'll help you conquer all the land, but we want to have our inheritance on this side. And they did that. What's interesting is that they didn't say, "Just we're over here, y'all just go ahead. Y'all go do your thing." They said, we're going to go with you and enter into the land and do battle with our brothers to gain the land, and then we'll come back. But let us establish homes and places for our families to live before we go in there. So that's the way they did it. And they cooperated together with the rest of the tribes to help them get into the land and to conquer those peoples that were in the land. And so I just added that one earlier, and it was just kind of written in my margin. Now I remember why I put it there, because the Lord threw it on my heart there. So another instance, so let's go to the New Testament, and we'll find several illustrations in the New Testament. Mark chapter 2, verse 15, this is probably one of my favorite New Testament pictures of cooperation in the gospel accounts. Jesus came back to Capernaum, and that was kind of his home base in the early part of his ministry, several days after it was heard that he was at the home. And many were gathered together, so there was no longer room even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. But being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And then there were some scribes there who reasoned in their hearts, only God can forgive sin. And so Jesus said, "Then get up and carry your mat out of here." And he got up and said, to prove that I can do the easier said, I'm going to do the more difficult. And he raised the man up. It's one of my favorite illustrations in Scripture to talk about the power of Christ and to get his point across. But the spirit of cooperation was in these men. that they would get up, and we usually think of a roof of having to get a ladder and prop it up, and a lot of the roofs in those days were homes that were built into a side of a hill, and you could climb up on the hill and be up on the roof pretty quickly. It was kind of like a dugout inside the home, and so it wasn't like they propped a ladder up, and I guess they could have, but they worked their way around, and then they dug a hole in the roof to lower the man down because they wanted to see him healed. Spirit of cooperation, to see someone in need be ministered to. What a beautiful picture. And it, of course, it's a principle for us as regarding cooperation. Acts chapter 1, this is where we start the trek together in the new church, the established church. Acts chapter 1, in verse 13 and 14, they had entered into that place, Mount called Olivet near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. They went to Jerusalem and they entered. They went to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. And they all in one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They cooperated together in prayer. I'm grateful that we have a prayer ministry and that we gather together for prayer time. For those of you who've never been to a prayer meeting, they are some of the sweetest times with God's people, is to be in there and to be offering up intercessions for others. I encourage you, if you've never been to a prayer meeting and you have opportunity to do that, if you're not in another Bible study, come to prayer meeting and see. I love being able to teach during that time. I feel like it's a casual opportunity for me to do some Bible study with our folks. I believe it's an encouraging time. It can be instructive as well. But it's a sweet time together. And prayer is a big part of it. We pray. And it's amazing when we hear people report on how someone's recovered or how someone is doing because we have offered them up to the Lord in prayer, not because we did it, but because God's power did it. And so it's great to celebrate that. And so I encourage you, if you can make that, let's participate together in prayer. You go a little further in chapter 2, verse 1, these newly Spirit-filled believers began speaking to anyone who was near them. So they shared together in the ministry of sharing the gospel. The Lord gave them an ability to be able to speak in foreign languages so that all of those pilgrims who had gathered together to celebrate the Passover were with them, or the Pentecost together with them, and they began to speak in other languages. That's amazing, isn't it? I remember being at a Gideon meeting. I shared this with someone the other night. Being at a Gideon meeting, and one of the special speakers was this humble looking black man, and he had walked up and just didn't look like much, and he gave a testimony how he'd been in trouble all his life as a kid and was in and out of prison. He was in prison more years than he wasn't in prison, and he said Gideon came to the prison and brought him a Gideon Bible, and he said, "I don't know why you give me this Bible, I can't even read." And he just chunked the Bible over on his cot, and he just didn't bother with it. But he said there were about three nights later, and he just couldn't sleep. And he woke up in the middle of the night, and he was just impressed to pick up that Bible, that little Gideon Bible, and start looking at it. And he said, "I was amazed. I opened it up to the book that I learned was the book of John, and all of a sudden I could read. And I read, and I got saved from reading the book." I mean, just think of the power of God in that, because the message of the gospel, the Lord had appointed that man to be saved. I mean, there's no doubt. You can't even read, and you're given a Bible, and the Lord enables you to be able to read so that by hearing in your spirit, by faith, you were saved. By hearing, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of Christ, and he heard it in his soul as he read that passage of scripture out of the book of John. And what an incredible thing that we have the privilege to be able to share, being filled with the Spirit, share with those who are around us and cooperate with one another in doing that. Acts chapter 4 goes on and on, and it's what we mentioned earlier, that they work together to provide for the needs of those around them who were suffering and were hurting and undergoing persecution and lack of goods. And so they gave of their own ministry, gave of their own finances in order to do ministry among others. And that's a cooperative spirit that we see in the early church especially. And on you can go. Acts chapter 15 is an opportunity for us to be thinking about that when there was some kind of doctrinal confusion, they went back to Jerusalem to the leaders. And they sat with the leaders, and together they cooperated to look, how can we resolve the issue? And they got the issue resolved spiritually so that they could coexist together with those who were Judaizers. And they weren't going to compromise, but they did offer up opportunity to be able to clarify doctrinal understanding, and they did that well because they cooperated together. So we see this idea of cooperation over and over in Scripture. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 17, and I know we've had some church members that have been looking at 1 Corinthians because of the issues going on in the church. And let me see those verses. Christ, 10 through 17. I exhort you, brethren, by the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that you agree and be no divisions among you, but you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that you are quarreling among yourself. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I have Cephas, I have Christ. Well, has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. And he goes on and names several others. I didn't baptize any. Oh, yeah, this one, this one, this one. But it was not about him. And the idea was that they cooperated together. He comes down and he says something to the effect, I planted and Apollos watered, and together the Lord brought the harvest out of our combined effort. This idea that we cooperate together and the Lord does the work. And that's really the bottom line. As we serve faithfully, as we give ourselves opportunity to do what the Lord's leading us to do, we get to see a mighty work of God in our midst. That's how cooperation works. If you really want to get into it, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read that entire chapter. How the body, many members, but all made up in one body. And we all serve different functions. And each one's been placed there, especially by the Lord. Specifically, each of us has been put in the body as it pleases God. And each one's been given a particular special gift so that as we serve together, we're just like all the fingers on a hand. When you go to grab something, they all work together in order to embrace or grab or to do the task. We all work together. So there's this idea of cooperating even within the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, some of my favorite passages when I'm talking about financial stewardship. As the Apostle Paul's talking about the financial faithfulness of the Macedonian churches and their desire to give to the saints at Jerusalem who were in need, and even out of their poverty, beyond themselves, they gave, they combined their efforts together so that they could be a blessing to the church at Jerusalem in their gifts. Of course, in chapter 9, we find more of the same. God's encouraging us through this letter to be cheerful givers. And make sure that we reap what we sow. We will reap what we sow, and so being faithful in our cooperating with giving. On and on the scriptures go. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, the Apostle Paul talked at length about unity in the body, working together. The pastors work in order to build the unity of the faith, to equip believers for service, that all together we are being built up into the body of Christ so that we become the full man in Christ Jesus. So there is this unity and cooperation whereby we as the church work together to see that come about. And then cooperating in preaching of the gospel. Philippians is kind of it's almost like the Apostle Paul kind of putting it on those that really didn't like the Apostle Paul. But I note here in verses 15 to 18, some to be sure preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Not everybody's going to preach Christ the same way. Praise the Lord, Christ is getting preached. And so those are some ideas about cooperation. And I think as we look at this complete article, we see that there is biblical basis for us cooperating together with like bodies, among ourselves, in the association that we are affiliated with, in the convention we're associated with, when we have those opportunities in missionary efforts, educational efforts, and any spiritual endeavor, benevolent needs that people might have, that we find a way to cooperate together with those who are like-minded with us. It is in this doctrinal statement and based upon Scripture that we can agree. God's kingdom is extended when we faithfully cooperate together in the work. I'm going to pray with you. And Brother Joe, do you have a song for us for departure? Family of God, let me pray, and then we'll sing that together. Father, we look to you because there's really nowhere else to look. Where else would we go, Lord God? And I pray, thanking you for your headship and that you're our God to whom we can come at every occasion. Thank you, Father, for being in our midst this evening. I pray, Father, that some have learned something out of this time together, looking at this article regarding cooperation. I thank you, Father, that many in this congregation have a heart of cooperating together in order to see the kingdom of Christ extended and many souls come to know you as a result of faithfulness to cooperate together. Thank you, Father, that you give us assignments to water, to plant, but we thank you also that the responsibility is upon you to bring the harvest, and we rely upon that completely. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to participate in that way and with one another as you give opportunity. May you be glorified as we depart this place and become your scattered church this week. Lord God, we love you. Thank you for caring for us by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, offering him as a salvation, a sacrifice for our salvation. Thank you for the faith to trust you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.